This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the besotted Pride of West London podcast, and we're coming to you in relegation week. We say it's relegation week because, well, it's relegation fortnight, actually, because the Bees, back-to-back relegation characters we're going to be going to. First of all, we had Sheffield United, then we got Luton on Saturday, and then we got Everton. It's like a chain we're going through. Probably the most crucial part of the B season. We've passed phase one with flying colours, and we're going into phase two, going down to Luton on Saturday. My name's Billy Grant. I'm sitting here in the virtual joint with my man, Laney. How are you?
Yeah, really good, actually. Yeah, much better after getting the monkey off our back and getting 3 points against the Blades on Saturday. It was, we'll talk about that in a minute. It was a very positive afternoon. Spent with good beer and good friends and good company, and then a good performance. I wouldn't say excellent performance; it was good. It was all that was needed. And then, as you say, we've got two really tricky games to come up. But you know, the pressure's off us a little bit, not off us completely. And I'm sure Thomas Frank and the players, they'll be well aware that things can go wrong from here, but it's very, very, very unlikely. When you start using the word mathematical, you can swap that out with virtually impossible. So that's the kind of realms we're in at the moment, especially with them playing each other as well. It's all good. Looking forward to the day in Luton. Not looking forward to going to the ground or the place, but there you go. It is what it is, and we're lucky that we've got the golden ticket. It's they're very rare, and I feel fortunate to get one.
Very fortunate to get them. Like I said, you're going to go and see the Bees playing at Luton. Last time we were at Luton, it wasn't the best of experiences because there's two things. A, it was very cold. And B, it was if I remember rightly, it was a kind of like one of those games that we walked into that we thought, yes, absolutely no problem. And Luton were near the bottom of the Championship. We were fighting for promotion and we went there at night and we completely and utterly fluffed it. It was a horrible night. It was cold. It was miserable. The ground was just like, it was just one of those football experiences that you just look back on thinking, I want to extinguish that from my brain. There was a snowstorm. I remember as we walked back home, it was just a nightmare. And then after that, there came lockdown and we never went to any more football matches, home or away, for quite a long time after that. So it's kind of got that etched on our brains. Luton, the last lockdown, I can't figure another L, last lockdown element, last lockdown place that we went to. So we're going to go back there and hopefully we're going to extinguish those skeletons from our cupboard. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but we've got, loads of other things, stuff that we're going to talk about on this podcast as well. Obviously, we got the match on Saturday. We had the Sheffield United game, so we're going to talk about that. We've got JB with some facts and funks on that one as well. And then we're going to look forward to the Luton game as well, which is going to be a very, very interesting match indeed. You know, and we've also got Ian Robertson, okay, from the Luton podcast as well. He's going to be chatting to us a little bit later about Luton's predicament. But Lainey, let's just go back to Saturday, or let's go back to last night. It was Brentford Women played last night, actually, at Wheatsheaf. Was it Wheatsheaf Park? Is it Wheatsheaf Park? Yeah, they went down to Wheatsheaf Park, down your way as well. And they had a game against
Richmond Park.
Yeah. Richmond Park as well. And as everyone knows, the women's team has been doing really well. They had a slow start to the season, but they've been fighting their way up the table. And they knew that you know, basically there's one aim in hand, to try and get promotion. There's only one promotion place in their league as well. And they were quite far off the top, but also they had a lot of games in hand. You know, they've gone on and they've done very well, and they've won a number of those games in hand. And then on Saturday, they went to Clapton. If anyone knows about the Clapton, the dripping pan, as they call it, you know, it's one of those hipster football venues, as they call them, a hipster football team. You know, the Dulwich Hamlets, the Captains, the White Leafs of the world. You go down there, they've got the drums, they've got the supporters, they've got all sorts of atmosphere going on down there. And maybe the atmosphere is a little bit too much, because the Bees, in the end, they dropped a couple of points, and they were expected to get a win down at Clapton. They only got a draw, which means that they're still on getting the title, but it makes it a little bit tighter. It means they've got to win all four of their last matches, and the big one comes against Benfica on Saturday. Brentford are taking on Benfica at 3 o'clock down at Bedfont. We're asking everyone to get down there. It's a massive game. If we get those 3 points, then we're going to be set on for kind of veering in for the title. Obviously, we've got to win our final 3 games on top of that as well, but it's a massive match. So get yourselves down to Bedfont, 3 o'clock on Saturday, because like I said to you, that draw at Clapton they did at the weekend has kind of just changed things a little bit and put a little bit more pressure on the girls. But it's not pressure that they can't handle, is it, Lainey?
No, I hope not. Let's be honest with you. And I'm going to try and get down there on Sunday. It's as you say, it's like a real sort of make or break game, and it'll be interesting. If you've not watched the women's team play, I think it's probably a really good one to go to. You know, it's I know it adds more and more pressure on them, but you know, great to get some back in and you know, get down to Bedford and have a couple of beers, and I'm sure there'll be a really good atmosphere down there. But you know, it's a real positive thing, and you know, I think, you know, nerves are going to come into it, and I think they'll be you know, as you say, you know, I think they'll rise to the challenge, and you know, it just really makes for a really exciting end to the season. So I wish them well, and whatever will be.
That's right, okay, Sarah, wherever will be. And if you want to as well, if you just want to get a little bit more on the women's game as well, go and check out, we did a women's team podcast a few weeks ago. It wasn't very long ago at all, just before the big game at New Griffin Park as well. And I interviewed Captain Molly Holmes, who's wicked player, wicked person. She's absolutely lovely. So we sat down, we had a little bit of a chin wag down at the Bedfont, actually. Went down to Bedfont on a Friday evening as well for one of their training sessions, and did really well. And also, like I said to you, I also want to mention as well the fact that, you know, Brentford B actually got promoted. Actually, I think they won the championship as well, so they've actually won that, so they've actually gone up, you know. So that's big respect to Charlotte Tanner and her crew down there as well. So she's worked really hard. We've known Charlotte for years, big Brentford fan, player for Brentford, and also now coach of the women's B team as well. So she's actually kind of they've actually gone and they've actually won and they've got promoted, and they're very happy about that as well. So like I said, she's big success there in the Brentford camp, so they'll be going up the leagues as well. So fingers crossed. Brentford women could do exactly the same as well on the flip side of that as well. So yeah, which is all good. Looking forward to that. I'll just see if I can try and get down there on Sunday. I think we've got a match with one of our teams on Sunday, but we could do a bit of jiggery pokery. You can see what we can do on that one. And talk about jiggery pokery. There's a bit of pokery to be done, right? Because you've only got about 3 or 4 days left before season tickets window closes, right? So anyone's got a season ticket, you've got about 3 or 4 days left to actually renew your season ticket. I'm not quite sure why they've closed a season ticket renewal date on the 22nd or whatever it is of April, when some people get paid towards the end of the month. But I suppose it's not about getting paid. It's about setting up your payments for the future. So I suppose they probably don't want to leave it till May, because then it just... probably too late. But anyway, so you've got a few more days left if you want to do your season ticket. Then after that, I suppose it's going to be going open to, if people have decided to give up their season ticket or they're moving to another stand, there's going to be a little bit of movement. And so yeah, we could see some more new faces in the West Stand, which could be quite interesting, that actually, Lainey, couldn't it? Because are you quite happy with the kind of the vibe in the West Stand? Because obviously, you know, the difficulty is you move to a new stadium. It takes a little bit of time to get your feet under the table. You know, I know that there's some people that may move to one particular stand and they didn't particularly like it there. So the following season, they asked for a move, a transfer. They transferred over. And I suppose we're going to take 2 or 3 or 4 years for you to actually kind of get comfortable and a feel for the stadium to make it feel really like home. But are you kind of quite happy with how things are going, you know, in the stadium and in our stand, particularly in the West Stand, Lainey?
No, not really. I'm not renewing. I don't even really like football, if I'm honest with you. And the person I'm standing next to is getting right on my tits, to be honest. Yeah, so I'm probably gonna jack it in, mate, to be honest. I've had enough.
Okay. You got anywhere else you're thinking of maybe going to go and watch instead?
Rugby. Yeah, I'm gonna change codes. I've just had enough, mate. Just had enough.
Okay, well, it's something. It means you've had enough. You tell you what you sound like. You sound exactly like the Nottingham Forest fans, who sound like they've had enough. It's really amazing, because as we know, we talk about this quite a lot on the podcast. We talk about this because it's more of a matter of fact. It's not, we're not seeing pointing fingers at them. But we've talked about the fact, you know, about teams going out and or spending money out of their remit as such, getting their points deductions. And, you know, we say as a club, it's not fair to us. I know Luton fans are thinking it's absolutely not fair to them, because, you know, you've got a club who is basically breaking the rules. You know, even though they don't think they're breaking the rules are there. So it's kind of, the rules are there. It's almost like, you know, having a red light. And just saying, well, I don't believe in red lights, so I'm just going to go through them anyway. And then you get a parking ticket, and then you go, I don't believe in red lights, so it's against the rules. You know, you're still going to get a parking ticket. I don't care if you don't believe it or not. That's kind of how it is with Forest, like, you know. So they believe that the only way that they can fight the top six is by breaking the rules, which to me is a bit of a nonsense, because, you know, do what Brighton did, where they take 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years to build themselves up. Then you can start fighting the top six. You don't go inside there and do it straight away. But they've been absolutely flying the flag behind their owner and what they're doing, and everything is right. And the fact they've broken the rules is fine, because at the end of the day, it means that they stayed up, and it's all, doesn't matter that anyone else went down instead of their, all this kind of stuff. I thought it's really fine. I thought that's fine. It's that sort of kind of similar fan loyalty that we saw when Derby County decided to sell their stadium to try and kind of evade the FFP by just cheating the rules again. And they sold their stadium to their owner for money that more than it's worth, so that they inflated the figures on the books so that they didn't get fined for FFP, and then they could try and get into the Premier League, and then they didn't. And then in the end, the owner ran out of money, and then they didn't have a stadium anymore. Then they got relegated, and they were in all sorts of trouble. And then the fans started going, our owner, he's an idiot. Where I was thinking, hold on a minute. You know, 6 months ago, you thought he's the best person in the world. He's the cleverest person in the world for actually kind of evading the EFL. So it reminds me of them. And also Sheffield Wednesday did a similar thing as well, where they sold their stadium and they're thinking, our owner is the best thing in the world. He's so clever. And the next minute they were no money, and they kind of like in all sorts of trouble and had no stadium, and they got relegated. And, you know, and I just thought that this kind of blind loyalty to whatever your club does is right is really dangerous, because you've always got to have a critical view. Right. And listen, at the moment, you know, we're really lucky, because in the last sort of 8-9 years, Brentford have been doing some very positive things, and we put a tip of hat to them. But we've always been there to, you know, have a look to make sure that's right or that's not right. We can actually at least talk to them and say, you know, we don't believe that's right, or the thing that you're doing, that shouldn't be happening. And to be fair, the club turns around to us and say, actually, you're right there. We might actually kind of readdress that. You know, there are even issues that may have happened now, and we'll still, you know, we will, and also fans will turn around to the club and say, I'm not happy about that. So I find it really bizarre when fans just turn around and say, oh, well, you know, let's just look, you know, that's just the way it is. Our club, it's the only way we're going to get success. We just need to go and do it, because you've got to kind of keep you know, about your club, you've got to also think about what your club's all about. And if you're not careful, you know, these people that own these clubs, they'll disappear off in 10 years time. And if they leave your club in tatters, you're all over the place. So you kind of, it's your job to kind of maintain the integrity of your club. That's what I believe, the fans, that's what they have to do. And that's not an old school feel, that's just a feel that I have. But to be fair, Forrest, you know, they were backing the owner because they thought, you know, him cheating was fine and it was great and he's doing the right thing for the club. But then, interestingly, he's now gone and raised their season tickets by 25%, which basically means that because he's gone off and he's spent all this money and he's spent it really badly on all these players, like, you know, on, you know, 100 grand and 120 grand a week and stuff like that. And now he's going, well, you're going to have to pay for that. They've gone absolutely ballistic. And all of a sudden, he's not a nice person, and he's a terrible business person, and he's taken up the wall, you know. Yeah, and just honestly, I've never seen anything like it. The switch is just absolutely amazing. And at a time that they're meant to be sort of galvanizing and pulling themselves together to pull themselves out of relegation trouble, they've dropped that. I mean, you know, and then Nottingham Forest sort of kind of dropped this tweet saying, you know, well, we've got 11,000 people on the wait list. So if you don't want to pay for your season ticket, we've got another 11,000 people. And they've gone absolutely garrity. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how Nottingham Forest's last four games are going to go, because they've gone from what seems a united fan base, united behind basically them just doing anything they can do to survive. And whether or not that means, you know, relegating Luton or Everton or anybody else, or, you know, who's around them, that's, you know, that should be, to just being very unhappy with their whole setup. And they just, half of them want to just get relegated because they're fed up of it all. I mean, it's bonkers, isn't it, Laney?
Not very bright, if I'm honest with you. It's just like, oh, we've got to pay for it. Oh, no, screw that. No. Oh, was it happy, like, you, he's paying for it. Mr. Dodgy's paying for it. Yeah, he can sack Cooper, who we love, and we'll kind of turn a bit of a blind eye to that. We're not happy about it, but we'll just go with it. And then we've got the new guy who's, you know, he's doing no better than Cooper at all. And he's probably gonna, you know, he's doing his best to take him down. And they're bending the rules, and they're potentially gonna have to move from this, you know, the stadium that's been their home forever on the banks of the Trent, and, you know, they sing the song, and they're happy to, you know, kind of, oh, well, we're going to have to do this to survive. And then that includes actually getting better sustainably run. You know, it's probably needs to be put up, you know, the season tickets probably do need to go up. You know, I'm, as a fan, you know, you never want that. But, you know, it's just typical, isn't it? You know, oh, no, we're not going to pay for it. You can't have it both ways. You can't be better run and run in an efficient way and to learn from mistakes. I guess that's, you know, if they're going to stay in the Premier League, then, you know, they're going to have to, because a lot of, sort of, you know, going back one stage, you know, a lot of their kind of like what they call mitigating circumstances is kind of they got promoted and they weren't expecting it, and they had a lot of loan players, so they had to, you know, buy basically a whole squad of players, and they were playing catch up, and, you know, it's not fair that they had to, you know, adapt so quickly, and obviously that was going to cost money, blah blah blah. But now they're in a situation where, you know, if they are going to stay up, and they stand a good chance of staying up, let's be honest, then if they are going to stay up, then they have to learn by the mistakes. They can't use the same excuses time after time. So something's got to change, and, you know, they know how much money is going to come in from being in the Premier League. That's, you know, that will go up in time, but they'll know, you know, they can't budget for that, and the new deals further down the line, they may be relegated by that time, so they know that there's going to be a lot more money, but they're going to have to change their transfer strategy, and they're going to have to up their match day income. You can't have it always. Something's got to change, you know. And you're right to say we're so fortunate that we've been so well run the last few years, and there's, you know, transfer surpluses, and although our money, you know, that's going to be spent is going to, you know, skyrocket, it's all within a kind of, I'm not going to say 5-year plan, it's a bit wanky, but it's all part of a, you know, a bigger picture. And it's, and, you know, you can't be worried that they're making it up on the hoof. And Forest a lot does seem to change like week by week. And I just, you know, it's another example of how their clubs run compared to ours. And we're just fortunate, I think.
I mean, this sort of stems down to, like I said to you, it's, and for me, it's, listen, I don't know, because everyone's different, right? But for me, how a club moves forward, you know, or how your club moves forward, I think is very important, right? I'm not a person, right, that wants to support a club that will just basically win at all costs, right? So what we'll do is that we will win and we'll get trophies and we don't care about anything else, you know? That is the mentality of some people, and that's fair play to them. You know, they're quite happy for the you know, the club to charge loads and loads of money so they get money in, or to go and sort of kind of, like say for example, Manchester City. You know, Manchester City basically are owned by a country, and they could buy any single player that they want to, right? So you can buy the best players in the world, and then you could do that. You can go out there and you can win anything you want to, except for the Champions League, obviously, but we won't talk about that. That's happened last night and didn't quite happen for them. But in principle, you know what I'm talking about. Now, for me, and that's maybe because I've come from being supported at Brentford, who I've been through the grind, and you've seen it, and you've had to try and make things work. You have to be cleverer. For me, it's much more exciting and it's much more fun kind of doing it the way that we do it. You get far less kind of exciting moments, but when they come, it's better, and you think we've earned that rather than you've kind of bought it. And I know that fans can't help the team that they've supported, and if the owners come in and that's what they want to do, then they just have to go with it. But I'd really hate that if it literally is a case, well, okay, we've got 10 times much money as you, we will flood the market, we'll push the prices up, we'll buy all the best players, we'll do everything else, and everything will be fantastic, and then we'll go out there and win. You think, okay, that's kind of cool, but it feels a little bit hollow to me. A lot of Forest fans that I know were kind of quite happy for that to happen, and I think, you know, for a club with the history that they've got now, I'm thinking that's a bit shallow, because I didn't think as a club there something like that. I thought that there would be someone who would be more pride in kind of building themselves up over years and doing things the right way. But the comments that they turn around saying, you know, we did the right thing in basically spending the money because we just, you know, that's the only way that we would have stayed up. And I'm just thinking, well, that's not really the way that things should be in football. And if you're quite happy to kind of sacrifice your morals and your footballing morals just for a little bit of short-term victory, you know, what have you got left? So I'm actually quite surprised by kind of their attitude and how things are. And listen, each to their own, because people might turn around and say to you, you're too old school, Bill. It don't work like that nowadays, mate. You just got to get loads of money in and you just got to just get it in there. And you've just got to be the best, because if you don't do that, then you're just going to be left behind. And there's a lot of feeling about that. You know, my Forest man say to me, unless you've got a £50,000 stadium, a £50 million, 50,000 person stadium, and you haven't got huge budgets, you're never going to compete with your Man Cities and everything like that. Yes, we know there's a gulf between us and them, but there are cleverer ways of actually kind of bringing that gulf to make it smaller. And I don't think it's going and buying Lingard and having him sitting on the bench, you know, after he's on 120 grand a week and you've paid whatever money for him. You know what I'm saying? Just things like that. It's, you've got to be cleverer. So I, you know me, I like going to Forest. I think it's a great away day. I know some really good Forest mates who are having some good banter with at the moment now. And I just think it's a little bit of a shame. And I just think that this whole idea where they're saying fans should come together and fight against the top six, I do understand that to a certain extent, but that's not the battle at the moment now. The battle at the moment now is Luton Town, who we're playing on Saturday, right, who are basically saying we've done things all the right way and we could be relegated because another team has basically cheated and it's not really fair. You know what I'm saying? And I feel 100% for Luton Town, you know, to the stage where you sort of think, you know, actually, to be fair, if you've done things the right way, you deserve to have a decent shot at this. Right. And these and the other teams, you kind of got to kind of look at yourself. So I don't know. There's quite a lot coming out of this whole conversation. And then the fact that now they've turned their back on the club because the season tickets triggered something, for me, is kind of really weird, because I'm thinking, so it takes them actually kind of charging it back for you to actually say this isn't right. And for us to notice, actually, we're not happy with the way the club's run. And I think that's again, maybe that's very football fan-esque. I mean, I don't know what you think, Laney.
Well, I mean, I've got two things to say really here as well. I mean, with regarding the points deductions, I actually think they should have been a bit cleverer there as well, and they should have given them the points deductions and a minus 100 goal difference. So if they finish level on points with a team that hasn't cheated, then the team that hasn't cheated get the advantage. So if Forest and Everton and Luton all finish on the same points, Luton are the ones that gain the advantage of the sanctions in that situation. And then the other thing I want to say is, you know, I'm sure Forest fans are going, oh, obsessed, triggered. I'll tell you what, you worry about your club, we worry about our club. And yeah, that's right to a certain extent, but it isn't, because we are involved in this whole debate, because, you know, until it's mathematically impossible for us to get relegated, we're still in it. You know, it could be us. You know, we could. I mean, you know, it's not going to happen, but we could lose every single one of our remaining fixtures. It's a possibility until they're played, and then in which case, you know, it's that situation where we have suffered because they've finished higher in the table by breaking the rules. So it involves us, and so I think we have a say. I think we have an opinion, and I think I think, you know, as I keep saying week in, week out, they need to be seen to be punished. I don't personally think the points deductions at the moment are anywhere near proportionate to what they've done. And they can bleat on about it as much as they like, and they can point to the Stars badge. We got a star coming in 2089 anyway. So
what's that about? What's that about, Lainey?
Oh, have you not seen the AI? No. AI is an artificial intelligence rated forecast of the Champions League winners up until, I think it's like 2103 or something, and Forest down to get a couple more Champions League wins, I think, in the next 50 years. And Brentford, remarkably, have been forecast by this robot to win the Champions League. And I think it's 2083 or something like that.
2087, I think it is.
2087, okay. Well, 2087. Unless AI invents kind of living forever, I don't think you and I may be around for that. But never know.
No.
I don't rule it out. But no. I'll have my season ticket back by then, so I'll be all no. right.
Yeah. Did you do you know who did not get a Champions League in that time?
Yes. Does it begin with A?
Who's that?
I said Arsenal.
I'm not sure if Arsenal did actually. I think they might have done, but there's another team who definitely didn't get one actually as well. That's the Fulham.
Oh, and QPR. They didn't get
QPR. I think they might have won the fourth division championship probably about 10 or 20 years after this date, as it was, like, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so we're on track. We're on track for some sort of success. And that's what I'm saying, lady. It's about building, you know, so we can build towards 2087. You know what I'm saying? It's not about kind of a sort of instant success overnight, like, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of these people expect. But like I said, look, this is a, you know, I know it sounded like a bit of a serious conversation to start off with, but I just thought it was really interesting, you know, the switch from the Forest fans to kind of, you know, togetherness to kind of absolute rabid, you know, hatred of their owner and everything they're doing. And it's just almost like, was it like a sort of kind of a moment sort of kind of where their eyes opened for a minute and they just thought, actually, this isn't right how we've done this. And at the end of the day, you know, the fact is that, you know, if it comes to us paying for it, you know, he never asked us in the first place. If he'd asked us beforehand if we were happy with signing Lingard for 120 grand a week, we probably would have said no. But because he did it himself, we were happy with it. And if he cheated, we're happy with it. But now that we've paying for it, we're not happy with it. So it's kind of like football. We need to just retain our, you know, our etiquette. We've got to retain what it's all about all the way through and not be switching from one to the next all the time. I know that's what football fans do, but maybe that's why it's good to just sit back. You know, sit back a little bit, have a little bit of an overview on things. Don't make sort of kind of comments immediately, but just sit down and have a little think about things and just try and be a little bit more level-headed about things. Because at the end of the day, football's a game that lasts for a long period of time. It's not going to be 1 year or 2 years. And at the end of the day, all of us have got to survive and move forward, or else it's not going to be the same. It's all going to be a little bit rubbish, you know what I'm saying? So have a little bit of a thought for everybody else and how we can actually work together rather than just about your own self on the old selfish front, isn't it, Lainey? Selfish.
Oh, God, you're sensible, Bill.
Yes. Anyway, listen. Right, we've talked about Forest just got a comment. It's Merinarka has produced the Nottingham Forest team that is awful on the pitch. He's incompetent at the finances, and he's demonstrated once and for all that he does not care one jot about the fans. No one convinced me otherwise. And I think this is a fan who about 2 months ago was really happy with everything that's going on. And that just replicates a lot of the kind of views that have been going on in and around the Forest camp at the moment now.
Quick question before we move on, because it's getting to the stage of the season. Like we can't have it always. We can't have all the teams we want relegated. So let's assume two are gone. Burnley and Sheffield United are gone. Right. So it leaves one place. We can't have Luton. I don't want Luton to go down anyway. But you can't have Luton and the two cheats. So two of those three are gonna escape. You know, fact. Who would you choose to go down out of Luton, Everton, and Forest? That's the only position left. Which one are you going for, Bill?
For me, and even though, and I know this is a Luton podcast, even though I don't massively enjoy going to Luton as an away day, because I think it's just quite a tricky away day because you can't really drink locally in Luton, so you have to go elsewhere. But for all those factors, that's just a personal factor anyway like that. It's quite nice to get inside a nice tight stadium, a bit of atmosphere. But for me, that's the scenario. But I think because they haven't cheated, I think that they should stay up. Between Everton and Nottingham Forest, I think the difficulty here for me is that I actually enjoy going to Nottingham Forest, and I have got Nottingham Forest mates. And even at the moment now, we're having a proper ding dong about all this nonsense that's going down. I think that for what they've done, I think that Forest do deserve to go down. But just for my own personal, because I'm being selfish as well, I would like Forest to stay up because it is a good away day. And I would like to go back there next season, which means that Everton will go down. How about yourself?
Okay. Oh, Forest all day long. You know, it's the Leeds, the Leedsness of them has kind of got it's made, anyway, it's amused me, and it's kind of like, you know, the serendipity of Leeds getting relegated last year and then this year, I can see it happening, but we'll see. I won't lose sleep over any of them, but you know, as long as it's not us. But yeah, I'd like to see Luton escape as well, but. Not at the expense of giving up 3 points against them on Saturday.
Oh, there's some people that are talking about actually that Brentford could take a rest on Saturday and then concentrate their efforts on Fulham in a few weeks' time, which means that, you know, giving Luton 3 points. And I'm not saying that at all. I've heard a few people saying that with a little bit of a chuckle and a smile on their face, which probably won't go down particularly well in the Nottingham area. I'm hearing Brentford taking that kind of approach. I think one of my mates said to me, he goes, yeah, I wouldn't put it past you, he said. And I'm just thinking, hold on a second, you're saying that to us, but you're the one that's always cheating, you know what I'm saying? So but anyway, listen, we'll move forward. Just a couple of other things as well. Talking about long intro, this isn't it, just talking about players. And well, we weren't talking about players, but you know, talking about players for Brentford, because we're going to be coming towards the end of the season, we'll be looking at obviously bringing in some new players. We're not going to talk about Thiago at all over in Belgium. We'll just see how that pans out next year. But we've got a couple of players, quite a few players out on loan, and just seeing how they'll do. So Portsmouth in Division One, Division One, they've just won the league, haven't they? You know, Pompey, big team. You know, as I said, used to be in the Premier League a few years back. Big team. I remember Brentford playing them all the time. You know, going down there used to be quite hairy, it has to be said. The 657 crew and all that used to come up, you know, used to get the first train out of Portsmouth and go all around the country and cause all sorts of mayhem, as it was. I remember them coming down to New Griffin Park, or Old Griffin Park at the time, and we played them in a game. I think I was still at school and went down there on my bicycle, and I went in and I just looked on the Portsmouth came down, and they literally had taken the new road. They had literally taken the new road, where basically there must have been about 2,000 Portsmouth fans in the new road. And how could you spot them? Because they were all wearing their Ticini tracksuits. There was like a blue, orange, yellow, green, literally just a sea of Ticini tracksuits to the left of us, where they just basically just taken our side home end, as it was. And that at the time was a little bit like, okay, Portsmouth are a little bit of a force within football. Anyway, they dropped away, but they're on their way back. And if you've ever been to Portsmouth, it is still pretty lively. You know, even when they got relegated, and they came to Old Griffin Park as well, and even when they got relegated, they all invaded the pitch. Do you remember that game, lady, when they invaded the pitch?
Yeah, I remember that game you're talking about against Portsmouth. It was early 80s. It was a bank holiday weekend, I think. It might have been May bank holiday. And it was.
No, I'm talking about when they got relegated recently.
I'm talking about the game you said when you took your bike.
Oh, yeah.
Going back. But yeah, I don't remember them, the relegation pitch invasion one. But yeah, it's good to see them, you know, on the bounce back. Because as you rightly say, you know, they're a really traditional, great, I mean, Fratton Park's an incredible place. It's a bit of an odd place, you know, in that big car park, but there's you know, when it's rocking, it's properly rocking in there. And I've got to know quite a few Pompey fans from doing my books with them, and Jake, you know, he's Pompey through and through, and he's got the Portsmouth little tattoos, the three dots on his hands, where that's the way you know, mate, if you're from Pompey, you've got your three dots on your in between your thumb and your first finger. That's a tell. But John Messino, ex Brentford player, looks like he's got a huge future in the game. He got the gig down at Fratton Park, and he's taken him up. I don't know if you remember much about him. He was kind of a bit part player. He came on a few times. He was, you know, he went off to Wickham after us, didn't he, in Oxford and stuff.
Right.
And he did great things there. But you know, he was under Andy Scott, I think. He left, but he was a classy player, classy young player. So it's great to see how he's kind of, you know, morphed into a great young manager. So I wish him well. I wish the club well. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was actually drinking with his old man, his dad, in Russia, as you do, for World Cup 2018 in a bar. When surprisingly, Laney, and I've done it for a while, where I was actually playing the piano as well. So yeah, I was playing the piano in a bar in Russia with John Messino's dad, as you do. And these are the kind of crazy things we do when we go to England away. So yeah, he's nice, really, really nice bloke. Which is all good. So like I said to you, good luck to him. But interestingly, he's got a Brentford player down at Portsmouth, which is Miles Pert-Harris, who went off there on loan. And it seems that Miles probably isn't doing as well as we thought, because what did Messino say? He said he's seen glimpses of him, but he'd like to see more. And, you know, he wants to see more of the Brentford loanies' match-winning quality as the temperature rises for their bid to reach the second tier. You know, he's made 10 appearances since arriving on loan from the Premier League, producing a man-of-the-match performance at Port Vale on his debut. So he had a really good debut, and they thought, oh, this is really good. But since then, he's been off and on. And I don't think that he featured in the last two or three games as well. So I think it's one of those scenarios where it's kind of another loan that hasn't quite gone to plan. And I don't know where the future is for Pert-Harris, because, you know, he hasn't quite made it at Portsmouth. So, you know, he's going to have to go somewhere else and try and do the business. And it's not looking great, is it, Laney?
No, it's not looking good for him. You know, he can't write it off completely, but you assume that going to the third tier is the perfect opportunity for him to get minutes under his belt, gain confidence, get some form, and show that he's a Premiership player or he's a Championship player. And for him not to get minutes there, I don't know where it goes for him, to be honest, because he's not going to come straight back into our first team. He's not going to get straight back into our bench. You know, we've got a big summer of improvement and strengthening. So, you know, you would assume that they're looking at another loan move for him next year. And you think time's running out. You know, it's not to say he can't make a really good career, but it doesn't look like it's shaping up for it to happen at Brentford. And you can only use the Chelsea kind of badge, you know, and that on your CV for so long before people just go, it's just, you know, it's just another one off the conveyor belt that's not worked. You know, it's a shame. I hope that next season he can, you know, he can get back on track. But, you know, I'd hope that he goes down there and he stays down there for another year and he helps Portsmouth, you know, push on and strengthen for the Championship. But it looks like he'll be coming back and we have to find another option for him.
Yes, yeah. And then talking about, again, same league as well, Division 1, Bolton got another one of our Brentford players, Paris Magoma, who went down there. He actually kind of, he's down at Bolton. And let's just put it this way, the Bolton fans are very, very happy with him. It's the exact opposite, a loan spell that's going very, very well. Magoma scored on Tuesday night against, I think it's Shrewsbury that he scored against as well. I think Harris Magoma runs onto the ball, slides a beautiful right foot shot into the bottom right corner. Apparently, he's been really wooing the fans there, wooing the players there, wooing the league there. It's doing very, very well. So, Paris Magoma, it could be interesting because, you know, obviously he's playing at Division 1 level now. Bolton are going for promotion. You know, whether or not they get it or not doesn't really matter because he's played his part. Whether or not next season he'll be coming back to Brentford and then slotting in and we'll get him in the mixer, or whether or not he might actually play at a slightly higher level, I don't know. But it just goes to show you that he's taken his opportunity and he's actually taken it really well and shown that he could potentially be a future player for us. I mean, it's obviously still a long way to go because there's a big gulf between like the middle of the Premier League and like the top of Division One. But it's about prospects, isn't it, Laney?
Yeah, we get a completely different vibe about him and you know, the situation up at Bolton. They're third, I believe, in League One, so there's a good chance that they could nick second place. I think Derby are in second at the moment, so there's still sort of, you know, six points to play for. I think we've got two more games, so if not the playoffs, so there's momentum going there, and it's a demonstration of when a loan move does work. And for some reason, the loan situations aren't great. You know, we don't seem to be able to say that, you know, every time we send one out, there's success. A lot of them don't get the minutes that we would hope. We can't demand that they start, but you know, they're not a success, and it's a real pity, because you know, it's an opportunity that once they're gone, you know, we're left with a problem then. You know, they have to succeed elsewhere. That's the reason we've sent them out. They're not ready for our first team, you know. So what do we do with them? So we have to make a decision then. Let's probably get rid. So, you know, they're doing themselves no favours if they can't shine.
No favours whatsoever. So anyway, we did ourselves lots of favours on Saturday when Sheffield United, the Blades, came down. We had a really good day, a really long day, it has to be said. There's a bit of struggling going on towards the end of the evening, but one is allowed to struggle when the team's been struggling for so long and they decide that they actually pull it out the bag. One is allowed to struggle. And yes, we're going to go and have a little drink and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the struggles that took place as a result of our win against Sheffield United. Sheffield United, the Blades, came down to New Griffin Park. It's interesting because they came down with this almost like this resigned posture to them. You know, we had our friends, you know, Reg and Mark, the Blades, came down. We had Bram, who I met in Japan in 2002 as well. He came down, Blades. I met, you know, all sorts of Blades, you know, the podcast characters and all sorts of characters. We just met them we met the Strand on the Green. And they came down, and they didn't come down because they were expecting to see Sheffield United win. They came down in that old-fashioned kick football out of football kind of attitude, to basically have a good day out and come and support their football team. And none of them expected to even get a point on Saturday. Now, maybe it's just me living in a world where kind of we expected that kind of thing week in and week out. So you end up kind of, you know, in a situation where you end up just chatting with people and talking about football and all sorts of other stuff and just, you know, becoming a bit of a social event.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And it was great. And like I said to you, just like when we went up to Sheffield, And again, being inside their pubs with them, chatting with them, it was just like a really nice vibe of just mixing of football people who just happened to be there to watch their team. Yes, we lost, but we had a really good day other than watching the game. And they came down and by the river, we saw them after the game. And they just said, we've had a really good time, you know, coming down there. We like coming down there. We're going to miss coming down there. You know, yeah, of course we support our team. And, they get more fans than us. They are, inverted commas, a bigger side than us when it comes to numbers of fans. But, you know, it wasn't really about the football for them. It was for us because we needed to win. And it ended up being a really good day, wasn't it, Laney?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a really early start. And, you know, as I said in the intro, met some really good friends and some really good people. And it was a really nice vibe. Sun was out and down by the side of the river. I mean, what a stunning part of, you know, West London we're in now. You know, people rave on about, you know, Craven Cottage and, you know, the river. But you forget that we're you know, only a stone's throw further away from the river than they are. And it's a better part, I think. You know, you can walk along it and you walk over to Kew Gardens. And it looked stunning. And it was nice to go down there afterwards, met some characters, didn't we? But it just all feels better when you've got 3 points and it all makes sense. You know, we weren't kind of frustrated in any way. We could relax, we could chill and, you know, we could fall asleep later on as well, Bill.
Yeah. No, tell you something, it wasn't about falling asleep, it's about sort of kind of just being pensive about the day.
Oh, okay.
You know, sometimes you close your eyes and you just think about the experiences that you had for the day. So
do you normally snore when you're pensive like that?
No, listen, anyway, should we move on? Listen, we're gonna go to the fans who also are very pensive about the day. We're gonna speak to both the Brentford fans and also the Sheffield United fans directly after that game.
We didn't really get out of second gear today either. It was pretty comfortable in the end. Poor first half, but good second half. Great to see Sharda back. Brilliant assist. And we won it. We did our job. Got a big game next week, but we should be fine regardless.
Tenacity over the whole season and over today as well. We've had injuries, and I know everyone else has as well. We've come through the other side. There you go. Second half came out a little bit, and things changed up. That second goal that was disallowed, by the way, oh, what a goal that would have been if it stood.
This stage of the season, we needed that result. We got to put our heads on the teams below us, keep them pushed down, and that's it. At the end of the day, 2-0, thank you very much. Good, and that will give us really good motivation going into the Luton game. I think we can enjoy the rest of the season now, hopefully, and get a few of the players back from injury. Ethan coming back on is a big positive. Charlotte coming back on, great to see them back.
I have to say, I thought Mads Verzef was magnificent today. I thought he had an absolutely superb game. In fact, both fullbacks were great. I think Brian had a bit of an off day by his normal eye standards. I don't think any of the front three really excelled themselves, to be honest. If we're going to nitpick, Damsgaard so deserved that goal. And it's just sort of like, fuck VAR, isn't it? Fuck VAR. The man hasn't scored since Euro 2020.
No one's coming to this game thinking it's going to be a really classy, crisp, clean game. Given the situation that both teams are finding themselves in, you know it's going to be a little bit of a dogfight. Arguably, people like that. It makes for an exciting game when there's a lot riding on it, so it's a bit more entertaining. But no, all the problems that we faced today were self-inflicted, really. Sheffield didn't challenge us. We kind of brought a lot of issues on ourselves, and then we managed to get it together in the end, and we come home with the 3 points. As you said, the result is what matters. I think for fans, for me in particular, it's very positive to see, obviously, Pinnock back in the squad, Sharda back in the squad. I think the players play better as well, because they're a bit more confident, knowing that they've got backup, they've got a good bench coming on, they've got a lot of support, the fans get behind them. It all feeds into itself very positively.
Once we were 2-0 up, we started playing with confidence again, and that's a lot of football, isn't it? It's confidence, just having that little bit of swag. We were doing things that we weren't doing in the first sort of 8-5 minutes, and hopefully if we can take that into Luton, which is going to be a battle, we know that.
But what a result to make sure we're staying up and ease. A few people are worried. I wasn't worried. I know you haven't been worried, but a few people that have been concerned. How good is it to get those points in the bag? It was lively in the middle. And great to see Sharda come on towards the end and give that little flick to Frank the Tank. So really pleased with how everyone played. But for me, probably Damsgaard with Brian and Sergio just behind.
I still thought at that point we're in it. Then you went 2-0 up and then VAR intervened. And normally VAR don't help us out. We don't even understand why why your second goal were ruled out. And I thought we were still in game. And then towards end, yeah, you finish us off. What can I say? A good club. Love Brentford. Great club. Love coming down here. You do it right. And when you were up in Sheffield, the one thing that we kept saying to you was, you've got a well-organised, well-managed club. And if you've got a well-organised, well-managed club, you're going to do all right.
Fantastic day. Fantastic people. Football, a little bit disappointed in regards to my team, but up the bees, you did well. Can't say more than that.
That first goal was clearly a deflection off our defender and a bit lucky, if I'm honest. Second goal, yeah, we gave it you on a plate. You ran away with it. But I will tell you something, though. I did like the ground and I liked the away end was great. Normally, as an away fan, you get the pants. And actually, you looked after us today. I liked the safe standing. Service was good at half-time. Sausage rolls were good. Beers were good, yeah. I did like the ground, I must admit that.
Neither side created an awful lot of anything. It was a well-contested game of football. Nobody really did a lot to win it. We conceded a bit of a soft own goal. And then after that, we brought on a lot of attacking players, left ourselves a little bit open at the back. And to be fair, the second goal was, you know, well taken. Can't really argue with that. But whether the second would have come without the first goal, who knows?
We got what we wanted today. You know, it was a victory. That's all that really mattered. You know, I think it flattered Sheffield United. I think we deserved more than that. I don't know why on earth that third goal or the second goal was ruled out. It was. We got. You know, it was comfortable. It really wasn't nervy as I thought it would be, to be honest. You know, they didn't really have any moments. It was within our everyone's comfort zone. I don't think any, you know, it wasn't. I don't think there was many areas of the ground that were kind of petrified at any stage. And it was just lovely to hear, you know, Free From Desire. Some people call it, you know, modern, but I think it's lovely, you know, to be able to celebrate a victory in a certain way in the top flight. You know, again, I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime, and it looks like we've cemented our place here for another year.
There we go. Bees fans, very happy. Blades fans, they're just kind of, yeah, whatever, man. We've had a good day out after that game, and like I said, you were very happy. I'll tell you what wasn't that package, but you met her before as well, was my friend Anne Grant, if you check her out as well. She used to be the British High Commissioner of South Africa. So we invited her down to the game as well. And part of the reason why is just, you know, a bit of a payback, because she put myself and a load of football fans up in her High Commissioner's mansion back in South Africa a few years back when we went for an England game. It wasn't the World Cup, it was before. We went for a friendly out there. Myself, Tart, you know, QPR fans, Chelsea fans, you know, Liverpool fans, there's like a load of us. And she said, you might as well stay at my house. So we actually stayed at this massive mansion, and you know, we could see sort of kind of a Table Mountain in the background, and we had a right laugh, like, you know, for a few days. You know, instead of staying in a hostel, we stayed in the High Commissioner's mansion. So it's really nice to kind of sort of see her. She's retired now, but she came down to see the bees because she quite likes us. So Anne Grant was there with our little crew afterwards, and she was being pensive as well during the game, before the game, and after the game as well, lady. But to something just coming back to that match itself, was the result ever in doubt for you?
Not really, no. You know, until the second goal went in, then until the first goal went in, you know, we couldn't get too ahead of ourselves. Not once did I really kind of feel that they were that dangerous. And I thought, you know, having seen football for as long as I have now, you kind of get a vibe of how things are going to work out. And of course, there's always you know, outliers in that. But yeah, I thought Sheffield United were, you know, okay, but they were nothing special, and we didn't have to be much more special than that to get past them. To be honest with you, get over the line. I thought we'd go at them a little bit harder. I thought, you know, I expected Ivan Toney to start. So, you know, it was, you know, disappointing not to have him in the team. But it was just we did what we needed to do, and really that was all that mattered. So yeah, I mean, I used the word relief again, and it was I was satisfied with us looking like a Premiership team. And I said last week that if Sheffield United aren't strong enough to survive in this division, and if we can't if we can't beat them, then you've got to question whether we are. And there was no questions left at the end of the day. You know, we still go back to that. We're not mathematically safe, and we can dance around the head of a pin about that. But it was easy is not the right word, but it was comfortable.
Comfortable is probably a bit of an understatement. Like I said to you, there was no point during that game where I actually thought that we were going to lose that game at all. If anything, you might have thought, we were going to score, especially, you know, at half-time you've gone in. But again, we kind of went in a little bit steady, Eddie, and then you just notch it up a little bit. Looking at whoscored.com, looking where the strengths and weaknesses were. Brentford were effective at creating scoring opportunities from long shot situations, and also we were strong at finishing. We were caught offside often, which is often the case with us as well. Sheffield United, their team had no significant strengths. They were poor at finishing. They gave away a lot of free kicks around the box, and they committed a high number of individual errors. When it comes to top performers, according to whoscored.com, and this is probably just goes to show you exactly where we're at now, Reguilon, who I thought had a great game, and I think everyone thought he had a great game as well. He's stepping up. We're going to talk about him in a little bit, but Reguilon, top of the pile, 7.8 for the Bees, then Flecken 7.5, Zanka 7.4, Roslev 7.4, Janelt got 7.3. So basically all the top three people were Brentford players, which I think was is what you expected as well. And interestingly, the Tasmanian Bee, who is there, the Dave Tasmanian Bee Genford, who was actually in the Globe on Saturday. We saw him and his family. Lovely to meet his family before the game. They're actually on the post-match podcast as well. And he's the one that does our Man of the Matches every week. He gets his supercomputer out, and he's got all sorts of computations going on. And he, interestingly, had Damsgaard was down as the best player, with Roslev second best and Reguilon third best. So again, it goes to show you how things shift depending on who is actually taking those votes. But that came from the fans who actually voted in. So like I said to you, that was quite interestingly. And also, like I said to you, the most shots, you know, not loads of shots. Brereton, two shots, with Jaden Bogle, two shots, and then Reguilon with one, Risa one, Malpay with one as well. And like I said to you, overall, Bees, like I said, doing well, you know, 10 attempts to 8, actually. It was 7-7 in open play, you know, 2-0 in set pieces. I haven't actually checked the XG. In general, like I said to you, I didn't feel that we're in that much danger in that game. Lane, are you?
No, I mean, Brereton Diaz, he had a good run in the first half, and you expect him to get the shot away. As a critical kind of observation, you could say, well, if Damsgaard's shot doesn't get toe poked into the back of the net, you know, that wouldn't have been a goal probably, and would we have had to wait until Onyeka's goal? Would that have been the winner? And would a goal come from elsewhere? But you know, it's all if.
What about the disallowed goal? Later?
Yeah, but that was disallowed. You know, that maybe that would, you know, that, but I, you know, we would have been really gutted if that was the opener, and that was disallowed. Then you start to worry. Then you start to think it's not your day. Then you start to get into an Arsenal situation with them losing to Aston Villa at the weekend. You know, a game where they had to win, and the longer the game goes on at 0-0, you start to go, okay, I know what's going to happen here. You know, they're going to get a breakaway goal, and that's going to flip this. So, you know, the Damsgaard cross that gets diverted into the bottom corner, it came at the perfect time, and then everyone kind of relaxes a bit, and you think, well, you know, are they going to come at us? If they do, then we will pick them off, and we will get a second. You know, I think, we'd all, in an ideal world, the second Damsgaard, you know, the volley from that beautiful free kick, that makes it 2-0, and Onyeka's third, you know, is the icing on the cake. That would have been super comfortable. You could have got really extra pensive then, Bill.
Yes, yeah, that's right. And I'll tell you something as well, because it's interesting, because just talking about, you know, XG as well, it wasn't a huge sort of kind of big opportunity game. Brentford was 1.02 to 0.84. So that's kind of even Stevens as it is. But then I suppose that probably takes into the fact, I don't know whether or not the goal that was scored by Damsgaard that was disallowed, which, you know, We filmed it, was up on the Besotted Twitter, and you can actually have a look at it, where you can see there was a push where a player got pushed down, and obviously that's what they gave the foul for. What a lot of people are sort of saying, they thought it was a little bit soft. Now, the fact that he scored that, but it wasn't allowed, does that mean that didn't count towards the XG? Probably not. And also the goal that was scored, because obviously the goal was going elsewhere, and then it got a massive deflection, Damsgaard, and went in the back of the net. And I've looked at that, sort of, obviously, you say Damsgaard is Arblaster, got an, you know, it's down as an own goal. So the XG is actually zero on that. It just didn't count as well, because obviously it wasn't a shot as such. So it's a bit of a weird one when it comes to sort of these big chances. You know, these stats aren't 100% kind of a spot on as such. So like I said to you, it's 1.02 to 0.84, which could have been a one-all game, could have been a nil-all game, could have been 1-0 either way. So, but at the end of the day, like I said to you, I've still felt very comfortable about that, how the Bees kind of panned that game out. Reguilón. It's a bit of a talking point, Reguilón, because obviously he went through a lot of question marks about him and how suitable he is to play for a team like us. He got sent off at Burnley, and a lot of people were very angry with him for getting sent off at Burnley and saying, look, mate, you've got enough experience and you shouldn't be doing things like that. But the last few games, he's actually shown what an asset he is to the team, isn't he, Laney?
Yeah, he's made us go, oh, okay then, you're better than we thought. And you can see where the hype is now. So, you know, whether he is someone that we want to push the boat out on, and, you know, whether we can afford his wages, whether that creates an issue for next season, you assume Rico isn't going to be fit anytime soon. So he does continue to solve a problem, you know, but, you know, and then maybe we bring in, you know, another left back. Well, we have to do that in the summer, and then that allows him to then be, you know, like slowly fed into the team when Reguilón's suspended every third game. But it's something now, I think, that the club will probably be thinking a little bit more seriously about keeping him at the club for next season. I think we'd all kind of said no, it isn't. We'd rather take a risk somewhere else if we're actually going to make next season safer than this one, and a lot more enjoyable, let's call it that. Then we're going to need stability, and we're going to need more quality, and he clearly does that. I mean, the matchup at Aston Villa was a, you know, if that's the one that's going to be on his show reels on YouTube. So it's a perfect demonstration of what he can bring to the team. Maybe he's also pulled his finger out a bit after Burnley. Maybe he felt like he'd let himself and the team down. And also he's maybe actually playing for a contract. Maybe he wants to stay. Maybe he's enjoying his time here. All that can help, but it's going to be a financial decision at the end of the day. He's not cheap.
Yeah, that's right as well. And also just briefly as well, Roslev as well. I mean, listen, you've been singing his praises the whole time, saying he's almost like a bit of an unsung hero. But, you know, it's one of those things where you talk about Brentford, you talk about, you know, you talk about teams buying players like Lingard and all these players, they bring them in for ridiculous amounts of money and then they just shelve them because they're rubbish. And then you get somebody like Roslev who comes in and some people go, he's not good enough. But Brentford just stick with them because you see what they've got and you think, I'm going to develop him, I'll develop him. And eventually, ping, you could say, oh my God, this guy's just going to another level. And Roslev, as of late, you know, he's just going to show you, you know, he's worth his weight in gold as a player who, you know, even if he becomes a bench player, if we get a player who is of a higher echelon than him, he will actually kind of really start adding to our squad, because you're not going to say, oh my God, we're bringing Roslev on. He's actually kind of really, really adding to the side. And it just goes to show you how important patience is in kind of building a good team, having a good vision is in building a good team, just not listening to the naysayers and people who think that they know everything and then telling you you're doing something wrong and it's flipping from left to right every moment. And Roslev has been, he's been a proper revelation, hasn't he?
Yeah, big game Mads. He's a player that I agree with you, and I agree with a lot of people that he's been written off, and I can never work out why. I mean, I know he's, you know, again, he's not a lot of things. You know, he wasn't the opposite of Rico. He wasn't, you know, lightning quick and the yin to Rico's yang. They're very different players, but he's still young and he's still growing. And I think this season is kind of like he's come of age. There might be one or two games where I've just thought, oh, hold on, you know, a bit of a liability here. And, you know, I'm sure everyone's going, oh, yeah, what about that? What about that? He got rinsed by so-and-so. You've got to forget, we're in the Premier Division. And, you know, there are going to be times where every defender, no matter how good you are, whether you're Walker, whether you're Stones, whether you're Van Dijk, whoever you are, there's going to be games where you just have an off one, and someone's got the skill and ability to tear you a new one. But I just think, yeah, we can improve. We can get someone faster down the wing. But in recent games, he's on form, and I see nothing about him that makes me kind of like worried. We've got Aya and Hickey to come back. I think the right back area is sorted. And my barometer, Andy Watson, the Dubai Bee gripper, he's been writing big game ads off for quite a long time. And then I get a text yesterday, Laney, I've changed my mind about Mads. I'm still not digging the Frank Onyeka. He's got to go, but Mads Rosleff, he can stay now. And I went, oh, okay, cheers. He'll be delighted with that decision, Andy. So, I'm expecting more from him next year. And if we make a decision and go, we could do a lot, lot better than him, he's got to be worth 10 million now. So, you know, there's a good chance he might go to Germany in the summer with Denmark. His form has come at a good time for him on an international level as well. So yeah, you know, fair play, good luck to him. He's done nothing wrong.
Yes, indeed. So listen, we're going to go over to JB. He's got some facts and some funk. Pre-Luton facts and funk. We're going to go to JB to listen to his facts and his funk.
Hello, Jonathan Burchell here again. After a wait of 63 days, we finally got a win on Saturday. It had been 9 games since the win at Wolves on the 10th of February. It had been 9 games since we scored the first goal of a game. It had been 9 games played without the injured Ethan Pinnock. We started with 4 at the back for the 12th time in this Premier League season, after an absence of 14 games. Having played in the opening 6 games in League and Cup, Kevin Sharder then missed 30 games injured before returning against Sheffield United. That's the longest a player's had a mid-season gap due to injury since Sergi Canos's 33 in 2019-2020, although his return was only possible when the season was extended due to the pandemic. It was only in the fourth Premier League game this season that all 8 of our outfield subs had previously played in the Premier League. With over 80 Brentford League goals between them, the prospect of one of them coming on and scoring was therefore quite high. Although unlike the Grand National, with the favourite taking the headlines, it was the long odds outsider, Frank Onyeka, who scored his first goal for us in his 74th match. But for a deflection and a dubious VAR decision, it could have been Mikael Damsgaard breaking his duck too in his 49th match. In his 4 years at the club, Ivan Toney has only started on the bench in just 4 league games. Saturday was the only occasion where he was unused throughout the game. There have been 19 League and Cup matches at the GTEC this season. Saturday was the first since the 20th of January, and only in the 5th time this season that we've heard Peter Gillam's celebratory playlist after a victory.
So there you go, JB, facts and funk before the Luton game. And talking about facts, we've got stats, we've got tactics, we've got the Gowler from Bees Breakdown. Jacob Gowler from the States, every single week. Check him out on Bees Breakdown on besotted.com. He does an article every week on the game from last weekend. So he's got the Sheffield United game and how it broke down tactically. Absolutely brilliant article. Check him out 100%. But anyway, he's given us the lowdown on that Sheffield United game. And also he's looking forward to the Luton game tactically and also statistically.
Hey, this is Jacob Gallo with Bees Breakdown. So for that Sheffield review, the underlying numbers don't suggest a dominating performance. The Bees only created 1.02 XG. But still, Brentford came with the huge 3 points against Sheffield, and Sheffield played their typical direct football, but this was partly due to Brentford's high press preventing Sheffield from building out of the back. And pressing stats back this up, showing that the Bees were winning back possession high up the pitch, which helped create some dangerous chances going forward. The Bees also routinely threatened on set plays. They accumulated 2 disallowed goals from set pieces, one of which was surprising to disallow. One other interesting note was that Brentford altered their build-up off goal kicks from when they were using 3 center backs, and that was seemingly to take advantage of Sheffield pressing with 2 forwards. Alright, so for that Luton preview, they're currently 18th due to them giving up the most XGA in the league so far this season. And their keeper has helped keep them somewhat in games, as well as highly overperforming their XG. They've scored around 5 more goals than expected. And although their passing stats are near the bottom of the table, one worry is the amount of crosses that they complete into the box. So Brentford lead with 91, but Luton aren't too far behind at 74. But much of this is due to the massive amount of crosses they attempt. They have attempted the most crosses in the Premier League with 733. So hopefully Pinnock's fit enough to help clear some of those crosses that they lump in. One other worry is clearances in the box. So, especially after a shot, Luton lead the Premier League with 14 goals on second shots. So, Brentford's going to have to win aerial duels and then win second balls against the side with a high work rate.
So, that was the Gale of Bees Breakdown, giving us the tactics and the stats on the Sheffield United game and the Luton game.
Just getting us in the mode. And talk about getting us in the mode, we've got Luton on Saturday. We're going to go away, we're going to come back, and we're going to discuss that Luton game. So Luton on Saturday is a big game. It is a big game. It's not as big a game as it would have been if we hadn't taken 3 points from Sheffield United and the results around us didn't go according to plan. But it's still a game that we want to get a result out of so that, you know, we can just chill a little bit more as we go into the back end of the season. You know, it'd be nice to go into the Fulham game, going so they're not having to think that, you know, we don't want Fulham to embarrass us in one way or the other, you know, by putting us into a predicament. So, you know, for me, that's why it's important for us to set our stall out right. Obviously, Luton have got, they got big fish to fry at the moment now, because it's not only us, you know, they're looking around them. They get results here and there, which kind of puts people around them and gives them a little bit of the jitters. Because, like I said to you, they seem to put results out of the bag, and they've got the fighting spirit, and they've got some pace in their side. And, you know, defensively, they're a little bit shaky, you know, which, you know, we'll probably find out about in a little bit later. But, you know, they're one of those teams which I think a lot of people say remind us of us, particularly maybe when we're in the, you know, in the lower leagues, when you're fighting against, you know, the odds, fighting against all these sides with loads of money and loads of arrogant fans telling you that they're so much better than you and they've got so many more trophies than you and all this kind of stuff. And you're like, yeah, okay, whatever, mate. Ah, there you go. Bang. It's beating them 1-0. So you've always got to watch out for a team like Luton. Teams like Luton, hey, Laney. Saturday is going to be not an easy one. We know about the Calderness Luton Stadium. We were there 2005. And like I said to you, Martin Allen walked around the side of the pitch and completely and utterly wound up the Luton fans to a stage where I just thought they were going to take the roof off. I thought they were going to jump on the pitch and tear his head off. Like it was completely bonkers. And then it also wound up the Brentford fans as well in that FA Cup match, which we ended up winning. And I think we went on. Did we go on a bit of a cup run that year? I think we possibly did. But that was mad. And that was the maddest I've ever been down at Luton. And I know how it can get. So I'm not expecting anything less on Saturday. It's going to be an interesting one, Laney, isn't it?
Yep, it certainly is. Yep, and it's, you know, we don't go there with the same jeopardy. I'm looking forward to the day out. I think we can have a proper, you know, day out without sort of like being overly concerned. I think the game's going to be as tough as it always ever was going to be. Luton are really going to chuck it at us, and you know, they've got the, you know, the intensity and the skills and the you know, they've got the tools there to do a job on us. I just think that we can be a little bit more kind of not relaxed, but we can have a bit more swagger. And if we can keep it tight at the back, we got to start believing that we can hit them on the break. And we are going to get opportunities. And, you know, not that I'm comparing us to Man City, but Man City, you know, created God knows how many chances against Luton last week. And that's by playing football. So you can play football against them and still carve out chances. It's just a matter of, you know, I think they'll score, but I think, you know, we've got to back ourselves to be scoring at least one or two. So if we can come out with this with a point, I'll take that all day long now. But I still think we can go and win there. But, you know, it's a fascinating one, because you've got Everton playing Forest on Sunday. So both games are kind of the link together. It's gonna, you know, we'll know a lot more about the relegation shake-up. Five games to go at the moment. We'll have four after the match. Others still might have five. There's still a lot of points to play for. I'm looking forward to going there. Hopefully they will survive, and they've got a new ground coming in the not foreseeable future. So things will change, you know, Kenilworth Road. It may be the last time I go there, and it may not be. But I'm very positive, Bill.
Yeah. Okay. So listen, I mean, let's find out a bit more about Luton.
So this is a bit of a rare moment. For the first time in 1,100 episodes of the Pride of West London podcast, the opposition fan has failed to deliver his or her review in time for our deadline. And we waited and we waited, but we knew that you need the podcast out there, especially before the weekend. So we thought, what we're going to do, we put the podcast up without the Luton fan review. And then what we're going to do is today on Friday, we're going to attempt to get the Luton review in. And if we do, we'll slot it in. So after drive time, maybe by 7 o'clock on Friday night, hopefully it will be in there. Check back in by deleting your podcast from your podcast platform, re-upload it, and you'll get a new version, and hopefully that version will have the opposition fan, the Luton fan, on it. Apologies about that, but these things happen. But we needed to get the podcast out to you, you bees.
You know, there's all this stuff going around. We've got the points deductions and around them. Is it fair? Is it not fair? You know, Luton's fight, you know, we've got players that, you know, used to play for us and, you know, who didn't quite make the grade with us, probably a little bit too early, you know, like your Bennies of the world, you know, but then they've gone into Luton. They've done the business as well. You know, you've got other players who have gone in there as well, you know, Andros Townsend and people like that, who are kind of like, you know, they're doing really well for the club. But also what you've got is that they've kind of seemed to embrace the spirit of what the club is about. It's like this underdog feeling that they've got, us against the world. We'll go out there and we'll do the business, but we won't cheat. We'll just do it the right way. And if it doesn't work out for us, we'll just deal with it. And then we'll just come back at whatever time. And I quite like that attitude, isn't it, Lainey?
Yeah, there's something about them. I mean, when one of the other big success stories of the season has been like Ross Barkley. The way he's kind of shone in that team, they're getting a lot of kind of love from places. Sometimes justified, sometimes not justified. I thought Micah Richards, his comments on Match of the Day last Saturday night were odd. He was saying how brilliant they were, but they just got battered. I know what he's trying to say, but he just wasn't communicating it very well. They've got a character. They've got a spirit. I think Rob Edwards is a great young manager, and I've liked having them in the division, and you know, I like the fact that they're a team like us, and we can compete and contribute at the top level. There's a lot of club owners that would love it if, you know, Brentford and Luton were nowhere near this division, but. You know, that's not the way football is. All the time we've got a pyramid, and all the time the best teams on the pitch can be there on merit. It gives everyone a chance, and their story is like bonkers great to be non-league and to come back and survive and to get back to the top is just a fairy tale. You know, people rave about Wrexham, who might be on the same, you know, they just got promoted. They've just gone back-to-back promotions from League Two. But Luton there's more, even more of an injustice there. You know, their points deductions, 30 points deductions, didn't they? You know, it made it impossible for them to survive. That's a proper, that's a punishment. So, you know, they won't, the irony about people bleating about 2 points and 4 points and 6 points and tens won't be lost on Luton Town. You know, they got hit and hit really hard. So yeah, for that reason alone, I want them to do all right. So yeah, I wish them well, but you know, I want us to win on Saturday.
Yeah, okay. So looking at Luton, their strengths and their weaknesses. Luton's strengths: coming back from losing positions, and also they're strong in the air, which could be a problem for us as well. Weaknesses: keeping possession of the ball, avoiding individual errors, defending counter-attacks, defending set pieces, defending against through ball attacks, very weak against defending against skillful players, and also very weak in protecting the lead. They attempt crosses often, they play with width, they take a lot of shots, they attack down the right, they like long balls, and they're not very aggressive. There are a couple of things that we need to watch out for. I mean, ball in the air is always going to be a problem for us at the moment without Ethan Pinnock, who, to be fair, we didn't mention him. He was actually back on Saturday. He didn't actually play, but the fact he was on the bench was brought a smile to my face. How about yours?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, him and Sharda, it was great just to see them back. And yeah, you know, such a huge loss for us. And you know, again, you know, we haven't got to go through the whole injury crisis again. But to see us coming out the other side at this time of year, slightly frustrating because season's going to come to an end and everyone's going to be fit. But it's hopefully they can all have a really chilled summer and then come back. We're all ready and we haven't got to go through this all over again. So yeah, Ethan Pinnock, what a player.
What an absolute player. So like I said to you, a few dangers there for us as well. Like I said to you, take lots of shots. They, you know, like they like to hit you on the break. They've got some pace in their side. I noticed that Ogbeni wasn't playing in their last game at the weekend as well. So I don't know if there's an injury there or what's going on as well. And also, I think they had a few players out injured in defence as well. And I know defence is they're kind of slightly weaker element. So again, I'm not sure who is coming back and who's not coming back this weekend. But there may be a few little kind of light at the end of the tunnel there for us where we can hit them hard, especially the fact that we've got Mbeumo is back. Himself and Wissa didn't have their best games on Saturday, did they, against Sheffield United? Laney, you didn't think so at all?
No, they weren't at their best, but you know, we all need to step it up a little bit more because they're going to chuck the old proverbial kitchen sink at us, aren't they?
Yeah, so again, you know, maybe they've got a little bit of a rest for that game. Maybe Ethan Pinnock, we decided not to play him and risk him because we knew that Sheffield United weren't great in the air. They didn't use their aerial strength at all, and we knew that, and we probably thought, let's give Ethan an extra week because we're going to really need it against Luton Town. So maybe we might be seeing Ethan coming back into the side on Saturday, which is going to be very much needed as well, like I said to you, and the ability to bring Sharda on with his pace, something that we've been missing in our side. You know, and Bumo's back again. We've missed that pace for, 4 or 5 months as well. It's really changed our game. So it could be something that we can hit them slightly almost like in a light for light basis. You know, they lose the ball, we get the ball back and bang, we're going to hit them. So, you know, it could be quite an exciting game. Very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward to a big atmosphere in the ground. And I'm looking forward to, seeing our team do themselves justice. You know, it's an opportunity now to get as many points now between now and the end of the season. There's points there to be had, I think. But the next two games, absolutely going to be absolutely attritional at times, I think.
Absolute attrition grinding away. So listen, I'm just going to ask you, Laney, Saturday, I'm going to ask you for a score prediction. I'm not sure. Did either of us get the Sheffield United prediction right? You know, 2-0. No. I think we both thought there's going to be goals in it. But no, clean sheet, which is quite a nice thing. Score prediction Saturday, Laney.
2-1 Brentford.
2-1 to the Bees, and I'm going to go 3-1 to the mighty Bees. So right, looking forward to Saturday. Going out, I think there's a bit of Harpenden action going on. Actually, we're going to sort of drinking on the outskirts of the Luton, I think, is where we're going to be looking at as well. You know, may even go for a little bit of brunch in the country, actually. Lady, fancy going for a little bit of brunch in the country?
I'll cross you.
Oh yes, that's right. Well, you know, you've got to celebrate your last few weeks without a suit now before you lose your season ticket, because as you've heard, Laney has decided he's going to give up his season ticket. Is that enough? You know, just like him and the Forest fans are going to be sitting down watching F1 every week during the season instead, because they think it's going to be much more exciting and you don't get ripped off by F1 people like you do, like by football owners. Isn't that right, Laney? Yes, I saw you ranting there.
Yes, which is all good. But listen, this is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast. Looking forward to the game on Saturday. It's going to be a good day out. Enjoy yourselves wherever you do. I might bump into you in the zones that we're going to be in. So we're going to be out rather early, it has to be said. Like I said to you, and looking forward to it as well. The Holland man in the house as well, giving him the shout as well. Saw and knew him from back in the day, and he's still there, you know, in his heart for his own. So this is sort of bread and butter to him, you know. So he's going to be taking us out in the Hertfordshire manner, as it goes as well. So, but other than that, Laney, it's been good chatting to you today in the virtual joint. Like I said to you, we kind of probably went on a little bit, but we had to get things off our chest.
It's been a long one. You weren't so, you're obviously very pensive, Bill. That's probably what it is.
That's right. I've had a lot of thinking going on, but I've got it off my chest, and I hope you feel better about that. Don't forget to get down to the women's game on Sunday down at Bedford. It's a big game, a BG, and they need 3 points as well. Don't forget, if you're going to Luton, enjoy yourselves. Very disappointed the club didn't do a beanbag to the club as well. They should have done a beanbag, you know, just to get the fans that couldn't get the 1,000 tickets that are on sale to everybody else, that they could have gone and enjoyed themselves down at the club. But I'm sure there'll be lots of streams all over the place, and we're not suggesting that you watch a stream, but if you happen to be watching a stream, enjoy yourself watching that game, and let's go down there, let's get 3 points. Come on, you bees, let's beat them Hatters. Let's go, Cat in the Hat. You
good afternoon.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.